Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, hopefully they're going to be the views of our guest. If not, why, it's going to be your views, because we'll do open lines. But hopefully Deborah is a good friend to be along shortly. But you know, somebody once said that about 1% of the population makes things happen, about 3% of the people watch things happen, and the other 96% don't even know anything's happening. And in many respects, that's what's going on today. Although I do think we've got probably more than 3% of people who are becoming increasingly aware of what's going on. But the reason we cannot, in large part, direct what's going on today is because there is a group of very wealthy and powerful and evil people who control the world banking system, who control the world media, who control the world's corporations and great tax-exempt foundations, and accordingly control the governments and most of the nations of the world and both political parties right here in the United States. And they make mockery out of this concept of freedom. They fix and they rig elections. They use defective voting machines or voting machines that can be fixed. And of course, they run candidates on both parties, and they kill people who get in their way. And I've had a number of people I've interviewed through the years who are actually assassinated. We're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking about something very real. I've actually interviewed three people who were hired by the CIA or assigned by the CIA to be assassins. This is the sort of thing that goes on in America. And the CIA can say, well, we don't kill people. No. They hire other people to kill people. But nobody ever wants to bring that sort of thing out. And so how do you begin to put this into perspective? Well, you have to understand that there are spiritual forces working behind the scenes that have a goal and objective. They want a one-world government. They want a one-world religion. They want a one-world leader. Well, right now we've got Deborah Ray, who's author of the ABCs of Globalism, is the ABCs of Culturalism? What's the second book, Deborah?
The ABCs of Cultural Isms. It
right.
Describes all sorts of cultural thoughts and theories that have controlled our culture and really taken us off track.
Well, we carry both books. We think both of them are very, very important, and they're certainly wonderful reference books to keep close at hand if you're doing any research or study. So I'm going to let Deborah pick this story up here and tell us what she's been doing since we last talked and what the focus of her investigation is.
Yes, well, I've been working, Dr. Stan, on a concept of developing the different world views. And in doing that, I wanted to explain about a favorite boutique for clothing that my sister and I used to go to, and it would have very flattering lights and very attentive salespeople and mirrors that we called skinny mirrors. And it would cause people to really be attracted to shop there. But what they were seeing was illusion. They were seeing the illusion of looking younger and somewhat trimmer. And so they were choosing to stroke the ego rather than to find what was actual reality. And so what I'm trying to work through now is to show the difference between reality and illusion. And I'm doing this through the world views that really dominate our culture. And by definition, I'm saying that a worldview is any ideology, movement, or religion that offers an overarching approach to understanding God and the world and man and our relationships one to another. And by nature, really, all the worldviews are religious. And they certainly have consequences.
They certainly do. I'm going to have to interrupt you right there because we're going to have to go to a break. And when we get back, our guest is Deborah Ray, and we're going to be talking about worldviews. We'll be right back here at Genesis.
As the old old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
If you're an adult male, you need to listen to this information. By the age of 60, half of all men have a prostate-related problem. In the past, many men have turned to saw palmetto to support prostate health. But now, there's something much better. It's called Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. In fact, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same benefits of one dose of Beta Prostate. It's guaranteed to provide noticeable support, even if you're already having prostate-related health issues. Now you can get Roger Mason's Beta Prostate formula through this special offer. And if you call now, you'll learn how to get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Feel a difference or your money back. Here's how to order.
Call now to order Beta Prostate. Dial 1-800-457-9914. Support your prostate with safe, all-natural ingredients. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Deborah Ray, author of the ABCs of Globalism and of ABCs of Culturalisms. So go ahead, Deborah. You were telling us about this idea of worldviews, and all worldviews really are religious in nature, which, of course, should be so obvious to everybody. But pick up the story.
Sure. Well, you know, you and I both know, Dr. Stan, that ideas have consequences, and so people need to be informed. It's been said that the more the ignorance, the better the slave. And most of us can agree that we are in a civil war of values throughout the United States, throughout North America. And yet the more important war that you have referenced is a spiritual battle. And the Bible says we're to compete in a contest for faith in the gospel. And our warfare is against devised strategies that advance active evil as instigated by rulers of darkness of this world. And so having understanding of this battle, that our fight is not just to beat the air, as Paul told us, but rather to understand so that we can take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, and then to align with and not war against the knowledge of God. But the other worldviews, other than traditional biblical Christianity, do just that. There's secular humanism, which has an ultimate point of reference being the imperial self. There's cosmic humanism, or the New Age movement, that puts the focus on the cosmos, or the universe. Marxist-Leninism, as a third worldview, focuses on the state, And, of course, traditional Christianity centers completely around the person of Jesus Christ. Amos tells us in the Bible that we can't walk together unless we be agreed. So we have to understand the tenets of each one of these worldviews in order to walk in agreement according to the plan and purpose of God. And at the heart of these different worldviews are things like scientific atheism as expounded in the Communist Manifesto, or relativism as expounded in the manifestos written by Roy Sellers and Paul Kurtz, the Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2. But the Christian Manifesto, its tenet is that of theism, that in the beginning God exists. Now, each one of these worldviews actually advocate change. And for the Christian, the transformation, according to the Bible, is from glory to glory into the similitude or the likeness of Jesus Christ, who has gone before us first and is preeminent before all of us. For the secular humanist, there's a conversion from theism. That is, they're turning their back on God, dethroning him, in order to enthrone mankind and put man as the measure of all things. And for the mystical humanist, the change is toward earned egoic advancement from embryo God to Christ consciousness or Godhood. In other words, it's the vain deceit, as Bible calls it, to become God. And for the Marxist, of course, we have the change through revolution. And there's this revolting against the old to bring in a new order, which is bereft of ostensibly obsolete sovereignty, traditionalism, and capitalism. Now, to bring about these changes, each one of these worldviews calls its followers on a journey, so to speak, but not all the paths on life's journey are equal, and in the end, I think you'd agree with me that there are only two outcomes, namely safety in the arms of a loving Creator or eternal separation from Him. And so the call for the secular humanist is what some people would tag political cosmopolitanism, and its contemporary expression is in globalism. And you and I have done a number of shows on globalism, which in a nutshell is a worldwide design to undermine sovereignty of nation states and establish an enlightened new world order, with redistributing wealth under the UN principle of sustainable development. And, of course, this whole paradigm concentrates power into the hands of few, a ruling elite. Now, the cosmic humanist is called to be awakened, and this is so manifest in Oprah Winfrey's shows these days. She is doing a live worldwide interactive 10-week web class with 300,000 already signed up on a new earth. And this book is a new age philosophy that she's promoting, and she's calling on the men and women of the world to prepare to be awakened. She's already given great amounts of time to A Course in Miracles. And in 1965, a Jewish atheist psychologist from Columbia University actually claims to have received the Course, as was channeled by Jesus, whom she called her voice. So this is not what biblical Christianity is all about, of course. And again, she's focused on the secret. And the secret is the law of attraction, as it's presented in a video seminar with prominent leaders giving the philosophy of the power of positive thinking. And the idea is that I can get what I want out of life by releasing divine power from my own thoughts projected outwardly. And so these things are truly calls that do not align with what the biblical traditional call is. Marks and Ingalls, of course, gives a call for societal transformation. And, of course, the idea is to forcibly overflow existing social conditions. And Ingalls himself said once and for all he was declaring war on religion. And this, too, has a contemporary expression in the anarchist movement. And today, youth are being groomed by progressives, futurists, and globalists by accessing the Internet and liberal media and even in the public school system. And victimization theories hook them. Hardcore action promises to ensure some sort of just, peaceful, and sustainable society. Revisionist history serves as its catalyst, and Marxism then comes to center stage to direct the social revolution at hand. Now, we're setting all these worldviews in contrast to the call of Christians, and that is to redeem the time according to God's purpose. Ours is a ministry of reconciliation as ambassadors of Christ. And the contemporary expression today is moving away from mega-churchianity to authentic, back-to-the-Bible, prophetic Christianity. And as this movement takes place, there's great warfare going on. And Will Durant, who is a humanist, said that the greatest question of our time is not communism versus individualism, not Europe versus America, not even the East versus the West. He says it's whether or not a man can live without God. Now, of course, this begs the question, how is this working for you? We have to look at each one of these worldviews and see how effective they are, if at all. Now, for the secular humanist, the concept is there is no first cause and there is no deity to save us. We must save ourselves. So this is not humanitarianism, nor should it be confused with humanitarianism, but its relativistic values exalt human worth based on self-determination through reason. Now, many secular humanists say that they are not a religion, but the American Humanist Association has 501(c)(3) religious tax exemption status, and there are 7.3 million humanists today whose theological foundation is atheism. And in fact, humanist churches are called Euphraxopy centers. And if you can believe it, there's a humanist chaplain within the United Ministry at Harvard University and at Radcliffe. As I mentioned before, there are many key documents that bring these ideas forward, but I think it's interesting to consider that Michael Moore has given America's viewers what people call a renewed taste for raw meat, and this is considered a good thing. But when Mel Gibson presented a film about faith, hope, love, and forgiveness, the Washington Post chastened him for having a startling lack of concern for historical context. So there's this dichotomy here. And yet the same writer, Hornaday, from the Washington Post, aligned with the Hezbollah in glowing endorsement of Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11. So we have all sorts of battling ideas going on. There's no moral compass out there. And yet this seems to resonate with the culture. I don't know if you watched the 2008 Grammys, but Amy Winehouse and her husband have been tabloid fodder for their drug and alcohol problems, self-destructive behaviors, and these have inspired lyrics, for example, in the song Addicted. And Winehouse won in 5 out of the 6 categories for which she was nominated. So, you know, if we want to look at how is this whole mindset, how is this whole worldview of secular humanism working, we can see that it's caused us to come to a faulty conclusion that humans are probably no more or less than animals. And
okay,
the wonder...
hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment with Deborah Ray, right here at Genesis.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yeah, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are reclaimable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Ted Anders from Midas, February 26, 2008, gold 935.50 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $962.06, $473.95 for half, $236.98 for quarter. That's $962.06, $473.95, and $236.98. The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its 1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market, and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Options of dollar sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in the global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened at the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Deborah Ray, and she's talking about the worldviews, and certainly the humanists have a worldview. The communists have a worldview. Certainly the Christians have a worldview, and of course the globalists fit right in with both the communists and with the humanists. In fact, there's very little difference between those two major movements as far as the globalists are concerned. Behind everything is that eternal spiritual battle between God and Satan that is being played out so vividly today. It is not a cultural war. It is a spiritual war being played out in a cultural battlefield any more than it's a political war or an ideological ideological war. They are both battles. They are spiritual battles being carried out on a political and ideological battlefield. So with that as the background, Deborah, you go right ahead.
Yes, well, we're looking at how these worldviews are working for us. And if you consider secular humanism, it's given us 200 years of Darwinism, materialistic naturalism, and reductionist psychology, only to lead to the conclusion that really humans are no more or less than animals. So why should we be surprised that many of them act like animals, like the lemming, for example, which is a mindless rodent that's wired to follow the masses over a cliff? And a Pew Research study showed that a very large percentage, maybe more than a quarter of adults, gain campaign news from late-night comedy shows. This is a mindless act, in my view. And on a more emotional level, secular humanism strips a person of all sense of purpose. I have a friend who is a retired astrophysicist, and when he had all the body of his work, which was so substantial, put on a little microchip, and he saw how minuscule it was, he was just devastated. His whole life was stripped of a sense of purpose because he claimed to be an atheist, and there was nothing more than that. And Marxist-Leninism gives us the idea, too, that religion is opium for the people. And actually, Marxism is a sort of secular vision of the kingdom of God. And given dialectic, or George Hegel's dialectic, matter attains higher perfection under its own power. But, of course, this is contrary to the second law of thermodynamics, which lets us know that everything is in a constant state of deterioration and decay, except from a spiritual vantage point. In Hegel's process, the ends justify the means. And the key to the utopian vision is the hollow belief that humanity's problems can be solved by human creation of a completely just society. So why is this so? It's because society or the environment, they believe, is at blame for moral failing. Never mind about sin. Never mind about accountability to God. Folks who fall victim to this way of thinking abandon personal responsibility and are forced then to look to an all-powerful state that ostensibly knows what's best for them. And yet it is just so advanced as though it were the better than peanut butter, the best thing since the invention of the rubber band. Marxism represents, according to Brzezinski, a further vital and creative stage in the maturing of man's universal vision. But then we have to ask ourselves, well, how is Marxism working? If you look at it, non-sustainable non-producers are delegated to the low end of humanity's totem pole, and this includes infants, elderly, stay-at-home moms, and those who are incapacitated either physically or mentally. Now, the egalitarian idea is really a pseudo-egalitarian idea because not everybody's equal. Some people are more equal than others, apparently. So, we have the base for communists ideology that you referenced, and what this gives us is the United States under this mindset would present the lowest common denominator that forced equity demands, according to Henry Lamb. And again, we have the bully pulpit of consensus, which provides limited choices under peer pressure, and this is the main collaborative learning groupthink strategy that's being used in the public schools today. Now, every now and again, somebody will be traveling by the beat of a different drum, but to get with the program, then, millions of students are being turned into patients in need of a village of educators, psychologists, social workers, nurses, and counselors in order to transform their minds to accommodate other than the traditional mindset.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back in just a moment with Deborah Ray.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Deborah Ray. And had a question, I think one of the humanists asked that question, can man live without God? Well, actually, of course, that's not a new question, because, of course, that comes from Ulysses, written by Homer, who wrote the Iliad. And at one point, the hero there stands on the shore trying to find out why he's been so mistreated and can't get to his home, and shouts at the waves. You know, and the gods that determine the waves, why are you doing this to me? And of course, the reply booms back from the depths of the sea, because man cannot live without his gods. And that really is true, not gods, but God. Man has to have a God, and everybody, or almost all of these people, do have a God, even those on the other side. They may deny it, but their God, of course, is the God who gives them total freedom to do whatever they want. And until the Christians really understand of the Gnostic philosophy that permeates so much of the intellectuals of America today, this idea that there is another God, but it is not the God of the Bible. Well, before we go on, Deborah, would you like to get out your website or anything about your ministry?
Yes. You know, I would really encourage your listeners to go to womantalk.com, and through that website there's much more information along the lines that we're speaking today, and all sorts of programming and writings that would be of interest, I think, to your listeners.
All right, you go right ahead. You were picking up and right where you left off.
Yes, well, we've been looking at how Marxism is working as a worldview, and truth be told, despite numerous Marxist-inspired revolutions all around the world, the empty promise of a classless utopian society is yet to actualize.
And I think so interesting, of course, that the only reason that Cuba's been able to survive and do as well as it has is it had constant transfers of wealth from the United States. Now, of course, they're not going to tell the American people that because you're supposed to believe that socialism is wonderful and Fidel Castro advanced the cause of education and health care. But the United States has been consistently giving foreign aid to other, either Marxist countries or other authoritarian societies who have been lending or giving money to Fidel Castro. That's how we got around it. So the American people wouldn't understand that communism just doesn't work. It's against human nature. And the only reason that communism worked at all in Cuba, the only reason it worked at all in Russia, was simply because of constant infusions of technology and financing from the United States. So go ahead and pick the story up there, Deborah.
That's well put, Dr. Stan, and really materialistic views like these are unable to address most societal ills and sins, which ultimately are matters of the mind, soul, and spirit. And so speaking of spirit, we come to the worldview of cosmic humanism. And all of a sudden, instead of saying there is no God, the cosmic humanist says everything is God. Man and God are ontologically one. And they claim that mankind is Mother Earth's consciousness. And of course, this blurs the line between physics and metaphysics. And really, trying to grasp this concept is like attempting to nail Jell-O to a tree, but I'll give it a try. Really, cosmic humanism is pseudo-Christianity. It's a patchwork of spiritism and avant-garde fourth force psychology. And it goes something like this. All life is energy, composite energy is God, and the promised expectation is life beyond the grave by becoming God. The Son of God is not Jesus, as the Bible teaches, but rather our combined Christ consciousness. Now, in order to get into an altered state of Christ consciousness, meditation is most often used, and it helps the imperial self to give way to collective spirituality defined by this coveted state of presumptive godhood. Now, it might take multiple reincarnations to get there, but the spiritual climb upward takes the embryo God, the pre-God, so to speak, to full Christhood, and it ensures egoic advancement. So this whole idea you'd think is so strange and not much to be seen anywhere, but it's really mainstream in that even HG Home and Garden TV features in its programs a lineup of Eastern energy balancing practices and spiritual health healing. So these things have gone into the mainstream for sure. And they're certainly within the education system as a reflection of Robert Mueller's World Core curriculum. And in a zealous pursuit of transpersonal psychology, one by the name of Dr. Robert Karkoff applies his own make-believe formula to measure human energy towards self-actualization. So he's on a path to power with a vision of possibilities thinking. So it's all this new age mysticism that's being brought to bear on even the maths and sciences. In Hollywood, we see that the winner of two Academy nominations, Syriana, offers what has become a favorite Hollywood tagline, and that is, everything is connected. We hear this spoken over and over again, and we referenced Oprah, who is a professed disciple of the Course on Miracles, and she has embraced this whole thought process and has really brought the women around the United States and even around the world. I saw Oprah Winfrey in China at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, in Beijing once. So what's it all about? This course, the only purpose, according to a publication by the Foundation for Inner Peace, is that one finds one's own internal teacher, better known in New Age circles as one's personal spirit guide. This is a cult. Another favorite guest on Oprah is Nicole Kidman, who recently starred in The Golden Compass. Now, if you check out the website, it goes so far as to guide visitors through a self-help program to meet your demon. Now, the writer of the trilogy, Philip Pullman, responsible for The Golden Compass, is anti-Christian and defines evil as the church, and owing God worship is evil. And in his books in this trilogy, he introduces such things as fornication and homosexuality, and in fact, he ultimately conquers God in the end. Now, we know that any number of celebrities have joined the Kabbalist movement of late, and Madonna is not alone in embracing this mystical, magical interpretation of the Bible, which at first, as you know, was an oral tradition, a cult tradition from which Gnosticism that you referenced emerged. A clinical psychologist by the name of James Warren goes so far as to insist that there's a celebrity stalker in each of us. So these influences have more power sometimes than we think. Now, this New Age theology is guaranteeing a happy ending, even if it takes multiple reincarnations over millions of years to achieve godhood. But we have to ask the question again, how is this worldview working for us? As part of a PhD study program at the University of Queensland School of Population Health, a 51-year-old woman by the name of Rosemary Aird conducted surveys of several 21-year-olders from Brisbane, Australia. And as an agnostic, she looked at two different belief systems, the first being traditional belief in God, and the second, belief in a higher power other than God. And amazingly, despite claims to spiritual illumination and wholeness, those who were proponents of cosmic humanism were more subjected to higher rates of anxiety, disturbed and or suspicious patterns of thinking, depression, and antisocial behavior. I think that's quite remarkable, especially given the promise that New Age theology is attempting to put forth in our culture. Now, biblical Christianity invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good, and it's founded not primarily on universal principles, but rather on the perfect life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin, and the Bible declares in the fullness of time he was fathered by God himself. And he came to earth to seek and save the lost, be they Jew or Gentile. And his is extremely good news in that he who knew no sin became sin and accepted just retribution on Calvary's cross for past, present, and future sins of mankind. So this bridges the gap between man and God. And we as Christians are being fashioned into the very likeness of Jesus, not because we are God, not because we are the measure of all things, but because the Holy Spirit is at work within us. And the promise is that eventually evil will be defeated utterly, and at long last, redeemed humanity will experience what eye is yet to see, ear is yet to hear, and the heart is yet to fancy. And these extraordinary promises translate into mundane life in that traditional Christianity is committed to such things as rule of law, individual effort, and fair dealing. Its key values embrace humanity's inherent dignity and worth, certainly not humanity's deity, and the centrality of godly relationships, social justice, and community service. So if we ask the question, how then is biblical Christianity working for us, we can say, let's take a look at the 15th and the 16th centuries when Judaism and Christianity together unleashed the scientific revolution, which was paired with the greatest outpouring the world has ever known in art, literature, and music. And in fact, throughout the decades, this positive impact has overflowed into the realm of politics, the sciences, education, and popular culture. Christianity, simply put, fits with the facts of experience, and even more importantly, it gives meaning to life. In contrast, what we're looking at with the contesting worldviews is the pollution of the arts and the blurring of the sciences, and their negative impact is reflected not only in antisocial behavior, but it's also evidenced in a grossly failing public education system. And if we look at research, it demonstrates that church attendance really parallels lower school dropout rates, diminished drug abuse, and overall falling crime rates. And faith-based grassroots efforts accredited with eliminating neighborhood prostitution and drug houses, adding street lights, and creating viable and successful youth programs. And so, hands down, biblical Christianity really takes the final bow. And I think in the 1820s, when gifted orator Daniel Webster warned us, he was so right. For at that time he said, if the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of the land, anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end. And isn't this what we're seeing in our culture? There are powerful principles of any given worldview that drive geopolitical policy. These things educate our children. They shape our popular culture. And so those that are already invested in a worldview would do well to reflect upon that view's reach and impact in their lives. But unfortunately, many would choose to be ignorant. They fail to grasp how that worldviews vying for supremacy in our times cause them to be uninformed or misinformed, as the case may be, and to fall prey to winds of change that are certain to set their vessels adrift. And so, truly, biblical Christianity takes the final bow, as I mentioned, and it's certainly better to buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen to that. Well, of course, the thing is that there is a conspiracy today against God. It permeates our courts. That's why they're taking God in prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our school. It permeates our educational system. It permeates our business world, and this is why we have so much corruption and crime. It has even infiltrated our seminaries and ultimately our Catholic and our Protestant churches. And until people understand that there is a conscious effort to destroy belief in God and the validity of the Bible, it has certainly been encouraged by Time Magazine and Newsweek Magazine and U.S. News and World Report. You can see how Christians are ordinarily treated by Hollywood as they ridicule them and, of course, minimize them. And yet look at what their worldview has brought about. 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease, and that's just the viral disease. That doesn't count syphilis or gonorrhea or chlamydia or similar terrible afflictions on people. And of course, there's one thing, like the difference between love and herpes is that herpes lasts forever. And yet our young people are being encouraged into sexual promiscuity by these secular humanists, by those who would say there are no values. And certainly those who hold to their values have nothing to worry about. Abstinence before marriage and fidelity after marriage works every time. But, of course, there's nothing the humanists have to offer. And so all they can do is attack those who hold values. Worldviews make a lot of difference. You're absolutely right, Deborah. And unfortunately, most people don't understand the true nature of this battle that's taking place, this ideological, cultural battle, nor do they understand the spiritual forces behind them.
Exactly. And, you know, in my first book, The ABCs of Globalism, I outline a chart that shows that for everything that God has intended to bring about, Satan has introduced a counterfeit that looks very similar to it in many ways. Unless a person understands the underlying belief, the underlying mindset of worldview, for example, you know, God is intended to have a theocratic kingdom, a millennial kingdom with a thousand-year rule and reign of Christ on earth. But the enemy has presented a counterfeit of New World Order, or transnational government that's based on the principles of sustainable development and harmonization. The plan of God is unity of faith as it's presented in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, but the world wants us to be unified in diversity. It's just that the tolerance in that unity falls short when it comes to the Christian viewpoint, because that cannot be embraced in this mindset.
We're out of time, Deborah. Thank you so much. Our guest has been Deborah Ray. I hope you've enjoyed her analysis of the worldviews that are influencing how we look at the world today. Bye-bye. God bless.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border, back with The Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues, too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now, to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with The Divided Kingdom.
Stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course we want to offer Deborah's books, The ABCs of Globalism, which I happen to like very much. It simply is a chronology of all these various terms dealing with the occult and who was Shuah Kuhl and who was Kutumi, and of course these were demonic spirits that actually appeared to both Alice Bailey and channeled ideas to Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. But ABCs of Globalism is a great research book to have by your side, not that expensive. ABCs of Culturalism goes along the same way, everything alphabetically listed. And then, of course, those of you who have not seen my talk on the planned police state, it's the latest thing we've turned out. You really need to get that. You need to get our material on weather modification and try to get people to understand what's going on. Now, of course, we have material on, we have several four-tape or CD sets on chemtrails. But then, of course, we have a four-tape set on weather modification or four CD set. We have a book on weather modification. We have a great DVD on weather modification put out by our good friend Bob Fletcher with a lot of great information. And there's nobody could watch these without understanding that they can change the weather. They can do all sorts of terrible things, and they are doing all sorts of terrible things. I would simply mention that right now, we may not be very, very far away from famine throughout the world. There are even articles today on the Internet about the United Nations talking about beginning to ration food even in first world nations. And certainly in many of the nations throughout the world, there's going to be rampant starvation. Why? Well, because, of course, they've created droughts. And, of course, the rice crop and the wheat crops and the standard grain crops are down all throughout the world. And the honeybees are disappearing. And much of the food that we're getting now is contaminated by fluoride and other things and really is unsafe to actually to eat. And as far as we can tell, they're fumigating the wheat now using a fluoride compound that leaves a residual just about the same amount as you have in your toothpaste. But with the toothpaste, you're told you have to go to the poison center. But you're not told to go to a poison center after you eat wheat products that have been fumigated with massive amounts of fluoride. They're poisoning the food. They're poisoning our people. They're poisoning our children. And you've got to start looking after yourself. You've got to learn really the dangers of vaccinations. You've got to learn which foods are safe. You better start thinking about growing your own foods as much as you can. And certainly lay in right now a supply of long-term storage food. And we make it available through Ready Reserve Food, which we work very closely with. If you'd like to get a catalog, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. But if you already have a catalog, do not put this off. Lay in a supply of food for yourself and for your family and for your friends. Do it now. Don't wait, because wheat is over $20 a bushel. It's gone almost over seven times within the last year and a half. And, of course, corn is going up, soybeans are going up. So many of the basic foods are going up rapidly, and they're increasingly hard to get, especially dairy products. And of course, they're going to be fumigating the dried eggs with the fluoride. This is not imaginary. This is not simply an effort to frighten you. I don't care where you get your products. Get them wherever you want to. But if you don't know where, you can get them from us. But shop around. But don't put off beginning to make preparations. We're moving into difficult times. Gold is going to the roof. Silver is going to the roof. We've been pleading with people for years to lay in supplies. Silver was up 70 cents today. Gold was up about $15 or more. And, of course, those who've been listening and taking our advice have done well, and those who've ignored us are, well, they're sort of waiting for the price to come down. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole world financial system is beginning to crumble, but more than that, the whole structure of world society is beginning to crumble. And you've got to have the things that you need to look after yourself, whether it be the Berkey water filters or barrels to put your water in and pumps to get it out with and the other things you need. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, and we'll be back in just a moment for the next hour.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. When the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dan Hamburger, formerly a congressman, United States congressman, who had written an article recently that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle, talking about his concern about the impending police state. In many respects, there are all sorts of things that are happening that are being imposed on the American people that the average individual has never been able to connect the dots and understand that we're moving away from freedom towards a fascist sort of society. And I was really surprised that the San Francisco Chronicle printed your article, Dan.
Actually, I was quite surprised, too.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, what it was like being back there in Washington, D.C., why you're on the front lines now trying to warn the American people about the impending imposition of a tyranny in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Well, from my point of view, we've kind of been in a steady decline in terms of our constitutional rights being upheld, certainly since 9/11. You know, 9/11 was a traumatic event for Americans, and I think they kind of fell into the trap of being willing to sacrifice what I think, you know, most Americans were led to believe was they were sacrificing a certain amount of their freedom for a higher level of security. And as Benjamin Franklin said, those who will sacrifice their freedom for security deserve neither. And I think that's what's happened in this country. And I think what I tried to do in this article was kind of sum up the things that have happened since 9/11, and particularly over the last couple of years, that definitely do make we the people weaker in the face of the federal government, and particularly the executive, the president.
All right. Well, I certainly share your views. In fact, as I read your article, it reminded me of a talk we've given recently called the Planned Police State. And you'd mentioned so many of the things that have taken place that we should all be concerned about. Do you want to just start and just going through your article? Because the things that you pointed out are things that are there, and yet because the media is not focusing our attention on them, because, of course, Rush Limbaugh and others certainly on the right are not drawing the attention of the people. A few people on the left are out there screaming as loud as they can, and, of course, many of us who are traditional conservatives hate to find ourselves on the same side of the American Civil Liberties Union, but on this issue, they're absolutely right. And, of course, we have to just bite our tongue and say, look, we're going to stand with them on this issue because we are losing our freedom, and there are people in Washington, D.C. who seem to have a much different agenda. So you pick up the story there.
Well, you know, you mentioned that this article was published in the Chronicle, which I think is one of the main major reasons that it's gotten so much play. I think it's why, you know, I'm on your program right now. This information is hardly new, though. Anybody with a computer can plug, you know, a combination of a few words such as detention camps, posse comitatus, National Defense Authorization Act of 2007 and get, you know, get thousands and thousands of hits. So this information is out there, but not only had it not been put together in a short article, which, you know, this is just an 800-word article, but it hadn't made it to the mainstream press. And I have to say thank you to the editorial staff at the Chronicle, because they were willing to allow this to go to print, where I think a lot of other newspapers have not been willing.
All right, do you hold that thought? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dan Hamburg, and Dan was a congressman, a one-term congressman back in Washington, D.C., and since then, since he's been back in the West Coast, he's been very concerned about many environmental issues, but he is also concerned about the fact that we're moving away from freedom here in the United States, and a number of laws have been enacted. And, of course, as Dan points out, all you have to do is go up on the Internet to check out everything he's written about. It's no secret at all, and yet nobody puts it together and points out that there are people in Washington, D.C., who, for whatever reason, in the name of protecting our security from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave over there in Pakistan, planning on how he's going to take away our freedom, why, the people here in Washington, D.C. seem to be just as intent upon taking our freedom and using the threat of this terrible Osama bin Laden, who, you know, is plotting our demise and our death and wants to kill millions of more Americans. They're using that threat to take away the freedom of the American people. Now, certainly, Dan has written an article then that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle recently, and he simply has connected all the dots of the things that are so obviously there. And I'm going to ask Dan, do you have a copy of the article close at hand, or?
Well, yeah, I do. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that when the Chronicle published this piece, of course, they don't publish things with articles with footnotes. But when I submitted to the Chron, it had many, many footnotes. In fact, everything that, you know, every factual statement I made was backed up usually by more than two sources.
Well, of course.
And these were not... these are not far-out sources, so you can't find anything you want on the Internet. And some of it's garbage, and some of it's good information. So, but you had asked me, you know, what were some of the things that I uncovered in doing the research for this article. And the first thing I found that I thought was really disturbing was that in 1999, the United States government entered into a single bid contract. In other words, there was only one bid taken by the government with a subsidiary of Halliburton called KBR, which stands for Kellogg, Brown, and Root. And that was a contract to build detention camps within the United States. And these detention camps were for the purpose of, and this is what was said in the legislation, or excuse me, in the contract, for an emergency influx of immigrants or to support the rapid development of new programs.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dan Hamburger, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dan was just saying that certainly when he submitted the article to the San Francisco Chronicle, and incidentally, if you don't have a copy of the article, we'd be glad to make one for you. We do have the article. We think it's very, very important. And it did get a fair amount of play, at least within these circles that I work with. But Dan pointed out that he'd put a lot of footnotes on there because everything is documentable. None of this is from some way-out organization. And one of the first things that caught his attention was a contract that had been issued to Kellogg Brown and Root. Kellogg Brown and Root, which is a subsidiary of Dick Cheney's old organization, Halliburton. It was one of those contracts that were given without bid. In other words, of course, they can give any amount of money they want to any one of their friends, and it was for $385 million. And it was to stand by, not to actually build detention camps, but to stand by and be ready to build detention camps over a period of a certain number of years in case... what was the stipulations in the contract, Dan?
Well, it was to build these detention centers in the event of an emergency influx of immigrants or in support of the rapid development of new programs. So the question that came to my mind is, what are these new programs that would require the construction and refurbishment of detention camps that are to be located in virtually every state in the country? So it wasn't, you know, just the fact that they had this $385 million to build detention camps, but when you looked at the potential locations, there are camps either to be built or military bases to be refurbished in centers throughout the United States, and in fact, in every state of the United States. And I became aware of the fact that this actually began, this process began in 1999, still under the Clinton administration. There was a policy established that military bases that were closed would be turned into civilian detention centers. Now, what are these centers for? I mean, the question I ask is, why is the government putting into place programs to detain not a few thousand, but perhaps as many as a few million of our citizens?
And why are they willing to put out $385 million? And that's a lot of money. And yet, of course, it didn't seem to bother them. They've already given it to Kellogg, Brown, and Root, and to build these detention centers. And not only that, but they're refurbishing all the old Japanese concentration camps that were used during the Second World War, for the tune of, I think, $85 million, under the guise that, oh, my goodness, you know, wasn't it terrible? We had American citizens, you know, many loyal American citizens. We put them in concentration camps. So we want to refurbish those concentration camps so that nobody will ever forget how terrible it was to put American citizens in concentration camps. But then, if that's really true, why are they planning on building more concentration camps?
Well, you know, that's the kind of question that I think people need to be asking. And then also, just last year, when they passed the big defense bill, the Defense Authorization Act, they put in there a caveat that allows the executive the power to invoke martial law. And this is the first time in over a century that the president has been authorized in law to use the military domestically. And I think some of your listeners have probably heard of the law called Posse Comitatus. That was the law that was passed, I believe, just after the Civil War.
In the 1870s.
1870s, which forbid the use by the federal government of the military within the continental United States. And now that authority has been given back to the president to bring in the military in response to a whole host of conditions, a natural disaster, a disease outbreak, a terrorist attack, in any situation in which the president believes that state officials are unable to maintain public order, they can now bring in the U.S. military.
But of course, the thing is, traditionally, the U.S. military only came in if the state requested it. They did not, of course, make the decision to come in. They had to be asked.
Right.
And, of course, in some of this legislation, specifically the military, or I guess it's the John Warner Defense Appropriation Act,
right,
the president
exactly.
Now has the ability to take over the National Guard without the permission of the state governor. He can just simply mobilize the National Guard, and then he can use American and now, of course, Canadian troops on in America because they have a new agreement with Canada, so they can bring in Canadian troops into the United States. And why are these things happening, Dan?
Well, I think that there are political and economic elites who are consolidating their positions of power. And I think that they're doing that in order to create a world order that is in keeping with their prerogatives. I mean, that's really all that I can imagine. And when I look at groups like the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and wonder what these groups are up to, that's what I think they're up to.
All right. Now, of course, you talk about something called the The Homeland Security Presidential Directive at 20 and the National Security Presidential Directive 51. Would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about them? They were actually became law in October of last year, and yet most Americans have never heard of them.
Well, not only that, but Congress held not a single hearing on these national security directives. But the one that you just mentioned, the National Security Presidential Directive 51, is the so-called continuity of government directive. And what it says is that in the case of a catastrophic emergency, that the president can do anything that he needs to do, up to and including canceling elections, suspending the Constitution, launching a nuclear attack, whatever needs to be done in order to ensure so-called continuity of government. So what this is really is the government protecting itself from any situation that might threaten it.
Now, how could that be done without the permission of Congress?
Well, because this is a presidential directive.
But, of course, couldn't Congress just say, you can't do that?
Well, we've been waiting for some time to see Congress take an active role in this government. I think in the last few weeks we've seen a little bit of motion from Congress. I mean, I don't know what you think about this telecom immunity bill that's been recently stalled, but to me that's a sign of Congress finally being willing to stand up to the executive, because as you remember, George Bush threw a little hissy fit before he took off to Africa. In fact, he said he was going to postpone his trip to Africa. Congress didn't protect the big telecom corporations from liability for having illegally surveilled citizens of the United States. And this whole thing of illegal wiretapping and listening into our phone calls and reading our emails without warrants and without any of us knowing about it, this is really a terrible thing. And this is so un-American that all of us should be rising up against us. And finally, in the last couple of weeks, you've seen Congress say, hey, we've had enough of this stuff. This is not right. And they refused Bush, even though, you know, Bush used his usual tactics of trying to frighten people into thinking the terrorists would attack if, you know, if the telecoms didn't get their immunity. And then the other thing Congress did recently that I found admirable was they issued contempt citations against Joshua Bolton and Harriet Myers, saying that they had to come before congressional committees and talk on the record under oath about the scandals that happened in the administration of Alberto Gonzalez, particularly with respect to the firing of U.S. attorneys.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, as far as this giving immunity to the telephone companies, most people don't know, because it's never mentioned by anybody, something called Project Echelon that's been going on for close to 30 years, where the NSA, the most secret of the secret intelligence agencies, has been doing exactly what you're describing, listening to our telephone calls. They do it, of course, with a computer, reading our faxes, reading our emails when they became available. And this has been going on for 30 years. Right here in America, they do it all throughout the world. And, of course, anybody can go up on the Internet and look up Echelon, E-S-C-H-A-L-O-N, Echelon, or Project Echelon, E-S-C-H-A-L-O-N. And this has been going on for a long time. So I think that most of what we see coming out of Washington, D.C. today with the courageous Democrats taking a stand against the dangerous president who's after more power is simply showbiz. Or as we start our program every day saying, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I wish I was as optimistic as you are, Dan, but I think that the leadership of both political parties has been compromised, and they're going to do whatever they're told to do, and they're going to play this game as if there is no Project Echelon, as if they had not been monitoring literally every telephone call, every fax, every email in America for decades, and not only in the United States, but throughout the world. So I mean, you know, I wish it was simply recent, but I think it's been going on for a long period of time.
Well, I do too, and so has a lot of the things that I address in this article being have gone on for a long time. It seems that what 9/11 did was just ratcheted all of this stuff up to a much higher level than it had been in the past. I mean, those of your listeners who have followed this history know that Oliver North in the 80s was involved in detention camps and the setting up of ways to control civil disturbance in case the Reagan administration decided to go after Central America. That was when we were bombing the heart. We were, doing an embargo against Nicaragua, and we were trying to, move Daniel Ortega and the communists out of Central America.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Dan, go right ahead with what you were saying.
Well, I was just saying that, you were saying that Echelon is has been around for 30 years and this kind of surveillance has been happening a long time. And I was saying that, the detention camps concept, certainly goes back to the Reagan years and probably, you go back to the CIA programs of the 50s and 60s, the files that were kept by J. Edgar Hoover in order to blackmail people when necessary. I mean, this kind of, go back to Joe McCarthy. I mean, this kind of stuff has been going on for some time in this country. And I think it's really, it's become very dangerous because the world has become extremely dangerous. You know, I don't know about you, but I look at the Reagan-Bush team and the remaining time they have in office, and it scares me because I, for one ex-congressman, and I've watched American politics pretty close for 30-some years, I don't think these guys are through. I don't think Bush and Cheney have fulfilled their vision of what they can do with the presidency in the last 7 years, and I think they've got more up their sleeve in the months they have left in office.
All right, well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And so certainly our guest is Dan Hamburg, and we're talking about what's going on. And, of course, Dan was referring to the time that Oliver North, and it was between 82 and 84, when Oliver North was working within the White House itself, laying out a plan to suspend the Constitution and arrest American citizens and put them in concentration camps. And that came out at the Iran-Contra hearings. And we actually offered that footage in my talk on the planned police state. We have the footage shot, there when Congressman Jack Brooks was trying to bring out that very story that Dan's referring to. And of course, he was repeatedly interrupted by Senator Inouye, who was not about to allow that to get out with the public. We can't let you common people out there understand what we're up to. And that's the great tragedy of what's going on today, Dan.
It's so interesting that today, and I understand that you consider yourself to be on the conservative side of things, and I consider myself to be, probably more on the liberal to radical side of things, but, that we both have this same, kind of gut feeling that the country has just gone seriously awry, and, I'm always amazed by how unquestioning people are in their admiration for Ronald Reagan, and I'm not going to go into a tirade against Ronald Reagan, but some of the things that went on in that presidency, I mean, I don't know when Alzheimer's struck that man, but he should have known better than to let this kind of rogue operation operate out of the White House while he was president. I'm not sure he really even knew what it was that they were up to.
Well, I suspect he didn't know exactly what they were up to, but we have this image of Ronald Reagan because he said what every conservative believes. He was against big government. He wanted to cut the deficit spending. He wanted, of course, to have a balanced budget. He was on the right side on the moral issues from the conservative point of view, and so he said everything the conservatives wanted. I mean, we wanted to cut taxes, and he did cut taxes.
Yeah.
Before he raised the taxes and gave us the biggest tax increase in history. But the average conservative, simply when you mention that, their eyes glaze over. They can't believe it because they have an image. They have an illusion. That's the reality. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dan Hamburger, and as Dan was just saying, he's pretty well on the left, and I'm probably would be considered pretty well on the right, but these terms really have no meaning, because when it comes to this preservation of freedom, those of us on the right and those of us on the left have to look and see what the government is doing to realize that our freedom is taken away not by the terrorists over there in Pakistan or in Iraq. It's being taken away by our own government. We'll cover some of the other things that you covered in your article so well. And incidentally, Dan did write an article. It was in the San Francisco Chronicle. You can type in his name in Google and San Francisco Chronicle article, or if you can't get it, we'll be glad to send you one, and Dan was kind enough to give me permission to include this in the syllabus we're putting together, because I think it crystallizes very, very well the things that I'm concerned about and that you should be concerned about as well. So why don't you just list some of those specific items that we haven't talked about so far?
Well, one of the things I mentioned in the original article was my concern that now on United States soil is the base for the world's largest mercenary army, an army of over 200,000 men and probably some women called Blackwater USA. And, you know, to me, that is in itself a threat to our freedom, to have an army that can be directed by the executive, can operate on U.S. soil as it did in New Orleans during Katrina, and is not under the authority of the citizens of the country.
And, you know, I think what really we have to note is that there are more mercenaries and contract people there in Iraq than we actually have soldiers. People don't understand that. And, of course, the mercenary soldier is a professional killer. That's what he is. And, that's what the Hessians were, the Redcoats, who were at the time of the American Revolution. They were mercenary soldiers who were hired by King George to come over and kill the Americans and stop the Revolution. Why would we have these massive numbers of mercenary soldiers employed by our government who have no loyalty to America? They just kill on direction, and I think that's a frightening thing.
Well, it's really interesting that over in Iraq, the Blackwater soldiers apparently are paid at a rate, I think it's quadruple what a typical American soldier is.
About $100,000 to $150,000 a year. That's just pretty good pay.
Yeah. So. And
of course, you'll kill anybody that they're told to, because you wouldn't want to be losing that salary. And you can
do it with impunity because you have. You know, a certain amount of protection from the laws of the country in which you're operating.
Well, not only that, but of course there have been a number of charges that are raping the women, American women over there, and killing the Iraqis, and nothing's ever done to them. It's perfectly all right. As long as you're a mercenary hired by our government, you don't come under the laws of Iraq, and you don't come under the laws of the United States. So murder and rape and pillage are allowed.
And you don't even come under the rules of our own, you know, our own military code of ethics goes out the window. You know what I mean? I mean, there is, you know, I believe that there at least was intended to be a very strong code of ethics and code of honor, if you will, for soldiers serving in the U.S. military.
There always has been.
It seems like that has been so eroded, and it's just... It's so much to the detriment of this country that people have lost their respect for the uniformed soldiers. And part of it, I think, is this mercenary army, which you know, now operates with impunity. And another thing is that our soldiers are being abused. They're being treated as if they're nothing but fodder for the empire. It's a terrible state of events.
Well, I think that the fact that they would bring these professional mercenaries into New Orleans, I mean, why weren't they using American soldiers who were answerable to the military code of justice? Well, because they were all overseas. We didn't have any to defend America, but then we had to bring these mercenaries, these professional killers back to Katrina, going door to door, taking the weapons away from the people and intimidating them and threatening them. And
right.
I mean, where was the outcry from the American people? Or maybe that's just what New Orleans was all about, to see if there would be an outcry from the American people.
Possible.
Well, anyway,
I'd also like to get in, if we can, get in a little bit of talk about this bill by Congresswoman Jane Harman of California.
All right, fine. I think that's really very, very important. Why don't you start, and we'll pick that up later. Go right ahead. Who is Jane Harman, and why should we be concerned about this bill?
Well, Jane Harman is a California congresswoman from Venice, California. Some real political wonks might remember that she ran for the Democratic nomination for governor back in 1998. But anyway, Jane Harman has been kind of a big wheel in the House Intelligence Committee. When Nancy Pelosi came in 2006 and became Speaker, she actually removed Jane Harman was the ranking.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dan Hamburger, and he was talking about this legislation that was being put through by Jane Harman, and it really was rather frightening in many respects. So you pick the story up there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Jane Harman, a Democrat from Venice, sponsored a bill called the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007, and this bill was heard by the House of Representatives in December of last year, and it passed by a vote of 404-6. 404-6. There was virtually no opposition to a bill that sets up a commission, and this is the purpose of this bill, to examine and report upon the facts and causes of violent radicalism and extremist ideology and make legislative recommendations to combat it. Well, what Harman seems to think, and what, you know, most of her colleagues obviously think, is that the United States is facing a native brand of terrorism and that we need a commission that has sweeping investigative powers in order to combat this terrorism. And under this law, the commission has the power to hold hearings, take testimony, swear people under oath, and go around the country exposing native terrorism. The bill also attacks the Internet and claims that Americans have overly broad access to information and that the Internet is leading to streams of terrorist-related propaganda and so on and so forth. So, to me, this is another way that the federal government would like to label anyone who engages in civil disobedience, in sit-ins, in any kind of action against the government, to label that person not someone anti-abortion or somebody who's anti-tax or somebody who's an immigration activist or an environmentalist or a peace demonstrator, to turn around and say those people are terrorists. And I was very amazed to see a bill, you know, having been a congressman, I've rarely seen bills go through on that kind of a lopsided margin. And now the bill is over on the Senate side, and Senator Susan Collins of Maine has picked it up. She's the chair of the Homeland Security Committee in the Senate. And I was very glad to see on the news the other night that the people of Maine are giving Senator Collins quite an earful.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dan Hamburger, and we're going to be talking in just a moment about the Homegrown Terrorist Act that is being went right through Congress. And did that go through the Senate as well?
No. In fact, you know, as I was mentioning, Senator Collins is pushing the Senate side of this bill. You know, it went through the House, 404-6. Now it's on the Senate side, and Senator Collins' constituents in the state of Maine staged protest demonstrations outside her offices last week, saying that, you know, demonstrating their opposition to this bill as yet another attack on the civil liberties of Americans.
Before we go on, do you have a website or a telephone number you'd like to get out, Dan?
Oh, sure.
I mean, don't be bashful. Go ahead and get it out.
The website is voiceoftheenvironment.com.
Okay, voiceoftheenvironment.com.
Yeah, and anyone who wants to get in touch with me, the email address is V-O-T-E.
There's one more time. What is it?
V is in victory, O, T is in Tom, E.
Vote, right.
At Pacific, like our ocean here, .net.
At Pacific.net, and of course I hope our producer's writing all this down so we'll have this at our fingertips afterwards. And
I also want to offer anyone who would like to see a footnoted version of the article that was in the Quran, I'd be glad to email that.
Well, I would love to have one, in fact.
I'll email one to you.
And it's drstanradio@aol.com. It was spelling out the word doctor. Dr. Stan Radio. And I would love to have the footnotes on everything you have, because I agreed with everything you said. But let's get back to this Homegrown Terror Act. And, of course, we were talking there for a moment, and it was during the break. And so I listed, don't really understand, well, the implications of this act. It was put through by a... is it her name Jane Harman, is that it?
Jane Harman, yes, H-A-R-M-A-N.
Jane Harman, who's a congressman from California, had put this through, and it's really about the homegrown terrorism. Why don't you just repeat a little about what this act is really all about, and these people seem to be so concerned about homegrown terrorism and the fact that we're really going to have to keep an eye on these Americans, because they could be a real danger of those people who disagree with the government.
Well, you know, I think the danger here is that anyone who lodges a lawful protest can be classified as a terrorist. For example, and I use this in the article, there's a law that passed within the last couple of years, I don't know the exact date, but a law called the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. And under this law, people who engage in sit-ins, civil disobedience, trespass, or any other crime in the name of animal rights can be named as terrorists. So, okay, so we're talking about animal rights activists could be terrorists. Well, what about anti-abortion activists? What about anti-tax activists? What about immigration activists, environmentalists, peace demonstrators? So basically, anyone who goes counter to the majority or the mainstream opinion that we're all supposed to fall in line with can be deemed a terrorist. And indeed, today, the National Counterterrorism Center in the United States holds the names of 775,000 terror suspects, with the number increasing by 20,000 per month.
Well, of course, you know, if you read the Patriot Act, anybody who wants to change our form of government is a terrorist. That is the definition of terrorism, having nothing to do with Muslim extremism. The difficulty is, of course, we've got the people in the Council on Foreign Relations who want to change our form of government. They want to do away with our national sovereignty. They want an all-powerful government in Washington, D.C. And these are some of the most important and powerful people in our country. All, by the definition of the Patriot Act, are really terrorists, because they are not only want to, they have changed our whole form of government from a constitutional republic into a really almost like a fascist democracy.
And I think this telecom bill is just a perfect example of that, where the federal government is, first they use the telecom to engage in this illegal surveillance, and then they want the Congress to pass a law that immunizes them for their unlawful behavior before anyone has, as Christopher Dodd pointed out, and this to me was Christopher Dodd, the senator from Connecticut, this is his finest moment. He said that if these guys did commit something wrong, they have nothing but lawyers. You know, they have bevies of lawyers to go to court and defend themselves. And if they did do something wrong, then they should be held accountable for what they did wrong.
Well, of course, what they do want to do is make the law retroactive, as they did with the Military Commission Act, and made torture retroactive. If anybody commits an act of torture in the past, he can't be prosecuted because, we give you retroactive, permission to have committed torture. And how could the president, who, you know, got up before the American people and said, we don't support torture, then sign legislation that gave retroactive you know, like a get-out-of-jail-free card for anybody who's been torturing the prisoners. Many of them were totally innocent because most of them have been let go. So we're torturing innocent people, and where is the outcry from? Well, at least the radical left is crying out, but where is the outcry from the Christians and the Christian leaders of our country against torture and now retroactive torture, when most of the people were innocent and have been let go back to their homes, those who haven't been killed?
But torture is a tool of this administration. I mean, whether they get information or not, I think part of their thinking is that they want to instill fear. They want to create an atmosphere of fear.
But of course, it's not
in that atmosphere that they can. That, you know, this goes back to wasn't it Goebbels who said that? You know, he was talking about Hitler's propaganda minister, that it's the easiest thing in the world to get people whipped up and afraid, and then the government can just do whatever it wants to do.
Well, you have to have an enemy. That's, if you don't have an enemy, how are you going to rally the people behind you? That's what Plato wrote in 2,500 years ago, and it's been used by tyrants ever since then.
Right.
That's why we have, you know, we have the green alert, and we have the yellow alert, and then we have the red alert. You know what that means.
So let me ask you, because you think deeply about these things, what is the point at, this is what I ask myself all the time, what is the point at which a sufficient number of people will say, you know, what was the famous line in the movie, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore?
Well, I think that when their ox gets gored, and of course I'm pretty very optimistic because I think our whole financial system is crumbling. I think people are going to very soon begin losing their homes, their cars, their jobs. There are going to be food shortages, and I think that as these things develop, it could be, even though horrible to contemplate, the best thing ever happened to America, because at that point, people are going to have to say, how did it happen? And there are going to be people like you, Dan, and me, you know, are going to be there to say, let me explain to you exactly what's happened. It doesn't matter whether you're right or left. Freedom, you know, has no political alignment. It is the desire of everybody in America who loves our country and our Constitution. Isn't it a shame that people in Washington, D.C. hate our Constitution, hate our sovereignty, and would destroy the very foundation of this nation that has given us, I believe, the greatest amount of freedom and greatest amount of prosperity of any nation throughout all time, and we're going to lose it all, but we may have to do that if we hope to preserve freedom.
Yeah, it's a very unappetizing scenario, but I sometimes think along the same lines as you.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, I'm supposed to be asking you the
question. Well, but you know, this is the second one of these interviews I've done today, and I was asked that question. I've been asked that question countless times.
Well, why don't you answer it?
I often go back to the American educational system and the extent to which we have kind of a dumbed-down population where politics is not part of the everyday discourse of American citizens. We'd much rather talk about, you know, where to get the best deal at the mall, and you know, we're so into sports and consumption and mindless chatter on the television set. And I think that this dumbing down is not by accident. I think it's by design. I think that those who are in power enjoy the benefits of being in a so-called democracy, where people get to go through this exercise called voting every once in a while, but in reality, freedom has been steadily eroding in this country.
Well, of course, at what point do you think then that the American people are going to say, we're not going to put up with it anymore, we've had it, we're as mad as hell?
Well, you know, for a long time, and especially since this last war started, I thought it would be at the point when a draft was reinstated. And, you know, Charlie Rangel, the longtime congressman from, he floated that a few years back, you know, and I think he did it kind of with his tongue in his cheek, saying, you know, let's see how the wealthy people like it when soldiers are sent off to Iraq. But, you know, I come out of the 60s, and it was in those days that students like me were not only mad as hell, but we were scared as hell that we'd been sent off to those jungles to kill and die. But barring that, I think the intent of the the rulers of this country are to keep us in a state of perpetual warfare. And in order to continue to do that, they're going to need more soldiers. And in order to do that, they're either going to have to institute a draft, or they're going to have to, you know, keep building up the ranks of the Blackwaters. They're going to have to make it, you know, more and more of a mercenary army situation. But if that doesn't happen, if a draft is not instituted, and it's not students who rise up as they did in the 60s, I think it's much more what you're talking about. I think it's going to be economic distress that that finally gets people to say, this is not a good deal. And indeed, the last 20 years, you know, since the Reagan Revolution, have not been a good deal for the working class.
All right, well, I think that we are going to be in some very difficult times, and I think that we're going to have to reach out across the political barriers to people we may disagree with on some issues, but the issue of freedom is not negotiable, and we would all want to restrict the power of government, to restrict the professional mercenaries, the professional killers, and then who are being hired by our government and are killing people over in Iraq, and nothing's done about it, and are raping American women over there, and nothing's done about it. And you can read the articles up on the Internet. Rather frightening as we look and see what has happened. Well, anyway, certainly, Dan, as we evaluate what's going on, and we actually look at the things you've talked about, the Military Commission Act. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I think that is such a vitally important issue, and people have forgotten about it, and the implications of the Military Commission Act.
Well, you know, I talked in the article about how the Military Commissions Act probably would never have been able to have been passed after November of 2006, when the new Congress took over, but it was just before November of 2006 that the Republican Congress was able to get that act through. And probably most people know that it allows for the imprisonment, the indefinite imprisonment of people who donate money to so-called terrorist organizations or any organization that turns up on a list of terrorist organizations as established by the federal government. It can also be used against citizens and non-citizens who speak out against government policy. Well, that seems to me to be, you know, a direct violation of the First Amendment of our Constitution.
Well, Christy, the stipulation in there was only for non-citizens, but since the courts have been forbidden to intervene and there's no right of habeas corpus, how would you even prove that you were an American citizen? That's the frightening thing about that act. It was intentionally sort of nebulous and non-specific, so that any American accused of supporting terrorism, it wouldn't have to be Islamic terrorism, it could be anything they really want, could be locked up without the right of habeas corpus. The first time since 1215, you know, in English history and then the Magna Carta, that habeas corpus has been surrendered. Well, it was done away with for a short period of time during the Civil War, but, you know, certainly in a civilized society when we're not in the middle of a war, to take away the right of habeas corpus to me was frightening. And there was no outcry, Dan. There was no outcry.
Right. And the other thing, this is something that I went over with the editor at the Chronicle in quite a bit of detail, was this issue of secret trials. The government can actually ban any press from being on site. They can even ban the person who is being prosecuted from being in the courtroom during the trial. So these are really, these are really like the worst.
And of course, they can actually use, evidence obtained by torture.
Right.
They could actually, use hearsay evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all the laws that protect American citizens were simply eliminated in that act, and the average American has no idea what's in it.
Right. And I think the person making the accusation against the accused does not have to be in the courtroom. So this is just another way to to frighten people, to make people bend to the will of the government. And the fact that there is so little outcry is very, very disturbing. It just says that people don't understand what the meaning of the Constitution is and what the meaning of living in a free society is. But again, I think it gets back to the fact that we're very distracted in this country, and we're kind of led in directions that don't really help us to understand our situation. I happened to be lucky enough to get over to France a couple of years ago, and even though I don't speak hardly any French, I was able to speak to people on a, you know, almost any time I would walk into a cafe in France, it was so easy to spark up a discussion of politics or history or, you know, just current events. People were so engaged in it. And I just find that really not to be the case in this country. I mean, I know there are people who listen to your radio programs and, you know, who listen to, you know, some of the things that I pay attention to and do care, but it's a small percentage of Americans. And, you know, maybe it's the one good thing coming out of this Obama campaign is that it does seem like it's reaching, you know, it's creating a level of enthusiasm in politics that I haven't seen in this country for a long time.
Of course, when you see whoever Obama's foreign policy is, advisors should strike terror in your heart, because it's the Democratic counterpart of Henry Kissinger. They both work for David Rockefeller. This man's name is Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Well, Brzezinski is one of his main, I know.
I mean, so, but I know how you feel. I think a lot of people are very taken with what's going on in the political field right now, and we're going to be back in just a minute to wrap up today's program with Dan Hamburger. Well, Dan, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Well,
don't be bashful. Just go right ahead.
You know, first of all, I want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your listeners out there. And a lot of people who hear me talk about politics or write about politics think that I'm, you know, a little bit too cynical, and I, you know, don't have enough hope for the country. But I really don't feel that way. I feel like there is going to be a world here for my kids and grandkids, but it's going to happen because enough people finally decide that they want to make it happen. Right now, my biggest concern is getting through the next 10 months of this Bush administration, so that getting through those 10 months without another foreign war starting, because I think that if things get any worse than they are already in the Middle East, I think the worst could happen, and that's why I want to see this Democratic Congress try to rein in, particularly Dick Cheney and the neocons. I do fear them, and I think there's a struggle going on at the highest levels of government between those who think that we've already gotten our army and our entire armed forces overcommitted in Iraq, and those who think that, you know, we need to. Those like Cheney who think that, you know, we still need to push the military solution and build the American empire. So I'm very concerned about that. I'm concerned about whether we're going to even have a real and fair election in November of 2008. So I think we need people to be diligent and to realize that this thing called freedom is a great gift and something that we only have if we diligently defend it on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I agree with you totally. Of course, I think you have more confidence in the Democratic Congress than I do. A lot of people voted for them thinking they were going to pull our troops out. They had no intention of pulling the troops out. They said what we wanted to hear, but they had no intention of doing anything, because the leadership of both political parties, in my estimation, is controlled by exactly the same people. You talk about a fair election. You know, we didn't have a fair election in 2004. They've rigged that election.
Oh, no, we didn't.
And certainly, we need the American people to be Maybe they need to get angry. Maybe they need to be willing to take a stand. They stole the election. I don't like John Kerry. I think it would have been just as bad as Bush, or maybe it wouldn't have been any different at all. Anyway, God bless. Thanks very much, Dan.
Thank
we'll talk to you later.
Much.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope that you enjoyed our conversation with Dan Hamburg. A lot of the issues that he brings up are covered in my talk on the Planned Police State. It's available on DVD. That's the Planned Police State. We will have a syllabus, hopefully within 3 or 4 weeks to go along with that. They'll give you all the documentation. If you want to get a copy of Dan's article, you can go up on the Internet and Google it in. If you don't have access, you give us a call at 1-800-544, and we'll be glad to get it for you. Hopefully you want to get my talk on the Planned Police State. It gives you a great deal of information. You'll actually see that film footage where, of course, they're trying to get the truth out about the fact that Oliver North was working back there in 1982, 1984 on how to create a dictatorship in America. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on concentration camps. We have actually a concentration camp special that contains that. It contains a DVD or video we have called Bob Wire Over America. It's very well done some months ago by our friend, or some years ago by our friend David Wagner. We actually have the government publication on how to deal with civilian attorneys, internees in military camps. And, of course, we actually offer the Senate report came out back, I think it was in 73, over the name of Frank Church and Senator Church and Senator Mathias, talking about how everything was in place for a dictatorship. That's a 1973 report. If you get into the other things, you'll get that free of charge. You need to understand that nothing is happening by accident. This is all long-term planning moving us towards where we're headed today. So we do hope that many of you will want to get our concentration camp four-tape set or the video behind Bob Wire, America Behind Bob Wire, or the DVDs we have called The Amazing Clips, which actually contain that film footage where Oliver North is being asked in the Iran-Contra hearings about his plan to suspend the Constitution and arrest Americans and put them in concentration camps. And of course, Senator Inouye keeps interrupting over and over again because they can't let you people out there and, you know, across America know there's a plan for a dictatorship. And then you'll see the film footage of Congressman Henry Gonzalez, longtime, chairman of the House Banking Committee, saying there really is a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and round up Americans and put them in concentration camps. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they have the plan. They know exactly what they're doing. But because behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. So you can get the four-tape set on concentration camps. You can get the concentration camp special. You can get the DVD, America Behind Bob Wire. And then, of course, you certainly want to get my latest DVD. It's called The Planned Police State. The Planned Police State. All of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But none of these things make sense unless you understand the spirits of forces which are energizing this, and that's why you need, of course, to either get my CD, I should say my DVD, or the book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. That's The Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, you need to get my recent talks called The Forbidden Secret. It will take you into an understanding of this movement that Sweeping America did, sweeping the world, whereby contemplative meditation and contemplative prayer and by yoga and by other occult practices, you can find your inner self. What you're really doing, of course, is coming in contact with the demons and the demonic world. And you want to get our four-tape or four-CD set on The Secret Behind the Secret. The Secret Behind the Secret. You want to get our material on the supernatural, because, ladies and gentlemen, there is a supernatural realm out there. And, of course, you'll want to get the book that goes with that called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson, who was a medium. She was deeply involved in the occult. and she will tell you the most amazing story of what she witnessed as she tapped into the supernatural. So please remember our number 1-800.